Tony Sad Productions.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me.
For the crew, the only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters, cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Put the phone on last Tuesday, riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it better, do it right. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Don't be worried about what some fools say. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard.
I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome. 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 This is Dr. Will Ruff, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, February the 20th of 2015. And the time is 12 noon, Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, today, my sister, we are continuing down again, revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the esoteric teachings. As you guys may or may not know, one of the most important things is to understand how we got to the place in history, or the time in history that we are. How do we get to where we are today? And one of the things that we have to look at is what we call the Gnostic, or some of the ancient texts, or the Apocrypha texts. We have our current belief system. So if what you have and is working for you, don't change a thing. If you already have the truth instead of a truth, then you're good. There's really no reason for you to be listening to this show, because this will just cause more confusion. However, if you're wanting to go deeper, if you want to have a better understanding, if you want to make sure that you understand all of the truth, then, my brothers and sisters, this is the show for you. This will help you to wrap your brain around and find the deeper truths that gives you the truth versus a truth. And one of the things that we're discussing today is this thing called the Nag-Hammadi Codex. So there is this thing that was called the Nag-Hammadi or Nag-Hammadi Library that was discovered. One of the books that was found inside of the Nag-Hammadi Library, again, that dates all the way back to 150 B.C., is a book called The Teachings of Sylvanus, S-I-L-V-A-N-U-S. Now, the reason why this text, or one of these, reason why we're going over this text again, is like all of the texts that we discussed on this show, we want to make sure that, again, that we're going on past the basic teachings of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when we talk about the teachings of Sylvanus, it's one of those, again, texts that was found inside of the Nag-Hammadi Library, definitely has basically what they call an unknown origin. Some of it has been some people debate on who is the actual author of the text. And so when we look at any Coptic text, any ancient text, basically, again, we look at it from the point of view of a skeptic. So I hope when you come on this show and any show that you're coming with your thinking cap on, that you bring your brain with you. You just don't come with a belief system, but you come with an open understanding that you already have a belief, and your belief is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, Yahushua, Yahuwah, and that's the basic belief. And so with that belief, now you're trying to supplement, you're trying to add to it. But the problem I have is most people don't question that belief. So I'm okay because I believe that my belief system, my knowing system, can hold up against the scrutiny of anyone, anywhere. So I welcome all challenges to my understanding. So the teachings of Silvanus, again, is one of the books that was found in the Nag Hammadi Library. Now, if this is your first term hearing of the Nag Hammadi Library, spelled N-A-G, then Hammadi, H-A-M-M-A-D-I. So that was a Nag Hammadi library. It was a collection of Gnostic texts that was discovered in Egypt. Now, it was discovered in Egypt in 1945. It was 12 leather-bound papyrus that was called a codex, a codices. Now, they were buried and they were sealed inside of a jar. They were found there, again, by a local farmer by the name of Muhammad al-Saman, S-A-M-M-A-N, Saman. So Muhammad al-Saman found these, what they call codices, or these codex, which means books, in 1945, and they called it, because it was found in the city of Nag Hammadi in Upper Egypt, so they named it the Nag Hammadi text. Now, inside of this text was found, again, these codices. All of them were condemned as being non-canonical books. That's what we're saying. That just means that these books, according to Constantine, was not worthy to be included. Now, the best known of all of the works of the Nag Hammadi text is the Gospel of Thomas. So the Gospel of Thomas, again, according to a lot of people, and I believe, that's the fifth gospel. But it was taken out of the original text by Constantine, by Vespasian, and his son Titus. And so one of the greatest books that was found inside of the Nag Hammadi text is this book called the Gospel of Thomas. Now, another book that was found inside of the Nag Hammadi text, the Nag Hammadi Library in 1945, again, the papyrus dates back to 348 CE. So the date that the documents, again, go back to 348 CE. So, again, Silas or Silvanus, the composition, some people believe, because the name is similar to Saul, Saul, S-A-L-S-A-L. So there are some researchers who kind of are trying to make the stretch and say that the composition of Silvanus could be contributed to Paul of Tarsus. Now, that's a big stretch. I don't know if you want to go down that road, but we want to read from this text today because I believe it has a lot of insight, like I believe in all of the ancient texts, whether it's true or not. Everything has some value in it. So we want to start reading from the teachings of Sal or Silvanus, S-I-L-V-A-N-U-S, Silvanus. Now, again, there's not too much known about the author of the text. Everybody got different interpretations. You know, so I don't want to get into, you know, debating on who is the actual author. You guys can do your own research to determine that. There's a plethora of information. The whole purpose of, again, is understanding that there was a document found called the Nag Hammadi text. Inside this document is books like the Prayer of the Apostle Paul, the Apocryon of James, the Gospel of Truth, the Treatises of the Resurrection, the Apocrypha of John, which I base my book, the Cosmoglotter, on, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Philip, the Gospel of the Origins of the World, the Hypothesis of the Archons. Now, all of these books are what we are going to be doing and going through inside of my pay-per-listen, my pay-per-view program that I'm going to. Again, just to make sure that everybody's aware, I will be digressing, if you will, from doing most of these shows on this free format here on Blog Talk, and I'll be going to a pay-per-view. The way that you can make sure that you have access to all of the programs, again, is to come at it $75 a month to receive the seven teachings. I'm doing one teaching per day as we go through all of the Mahamadi texts. And we go through all of the Apocrypha, and I reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the truth, not a truth, based upon 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, where it reads, the love of the truth. If you don't have the love, not a love, of the truth, not a truth, God will send you a strong delusion. So everybody on earth, just like it says in the book of Revelation, that old dragon who has deceived the whole world, the Bible says in Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we all have drunk from the sea of forgetfulness. So how do we return? How do we get back to our source? Well, we got to go through. We got to get gnosis. We got to get an understanding. But we have to be led by the Ruach, by the Pneuma, by the Holy Spirit. And so, again, there's different ways you can partner with me, $75, $50, or $25. Again, if there isn't enough participation, then I will just reduce my amount of time that I'm doing here on Blog Talk. I will not, I repeat, I will not do the pay-per-view lessons unless that magic number that me and God have come to an agreement upon is reached. Again, I've had a lot of people respond, but I'm not even halfway near the amount of people that I need to order to make this worth my time and your time. So, again, no harm done, no harm, no foul, as they say. If there's not enough interest for this type of stuff, no problem at all. I continue to applaud everyone listening to this show to continue not believing me, but believe the Ruach, the Pneuma, the Holy Spirit. Never believe a man. I don't care how great he is. I don't care how many acronyms he have after his name. I don't care if he walk around calling himself Master, you know, Philanthropist 33. Names are worthless. They're titles. They're useless. You have to follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth. I'm just a vessel, one of many. That's why we're doing today's show. With no further ado, the teachings of Sylvanus. Abolish every childish time of life. Acquire for yourself strength of mind and of soul. And intensify the struggle against every folly of the passions of love and base wickedness. And love of praise, and fondness of contention, and tiresome jealousy and wrath, and anger, and the desire for a variance. Guard your camp, and weapons and spears. Arm yourself, and all the soldiers, which are the words, and the command and the commanders, which are the counsels. And your mind as guarding, as a guarding principle. Now, chapter 1, verse 1, wow, of the teachings of Sylvanus. Brothers and sisters, what I just read right there was a mouthful. Let's go through it again. We're going to go through it just really quickly. Again, it says, abolish every childhood time of life. Acquire for yourself strength of mind, number one, and soul. Now, soul consists of the mind. The mind, will, emotion, imagination, and the intellect. It says to for you yourself to acquire strength of mind and soul and intensify the struggle. Oh, you didn't know that you was in a struggle. Okay, let me let you know that you're in a struggle. You're in a war. We all are. Whether we want to be in a war or not, we all are in a war. That's what this is breaking down for us. But then it goes even further. Notice what it says. Inside the teachings of Sylvanus, this is really important. It says, intensify the struggle against every folly of the passions of love and base wickedness. So it's talking about the base, the root chakra, the three F's, fun, fighting, procreating, or effing. It says, struggle against that. Don't let that overtake you. Don't let it overpower you. The passions that come with love. So I got a love of, notice it says not the love, a love. I have a love of alcohol. It says fight against it. I have a love of Krispy Kreme donuts. Fight against it. I have a love of fancy cars. fight against it. I have a love of expensive costume jewelry. Fight against it. Whatever it is that is a base, and you got a love for that. And then it goes on and it says, and love of praise and fondness of contention. Oh, that's me. I love praise. I love for people to call me and say, Brother Will, that was an awesome message you did today, brother. God bless you. I love receiving those emails. I love seeing those posts on my Facebook page. I love going to Twitter and LinkedIn. I love going through the social media. I love getting that attention, that pat on the back. I love going to the gym and, you know, throwing up, you know, about 350, 400 pounds on the bench press and sending all them young cats, like, hey, look at that old dude over there, man, benching up, you know, 450. I love that attention. But notice what it says. It says don't do that. It says struggle against that that attention that you get from the outside. Because, again, if you get outside validation, that is in the inside of a lack of internal revelation. Let's understand. Outside validation means a lack of inside revelation. One more time. Outside validation, the need for it, is an indication of a lack of internal revelation. And so it is telling us inside of this ancient text, the teachings of Silvanus, that, don't put too much emphasis. Don't be fond of praise or attention. And then it says, and tiresome jealousy and wrath. Man, I know a lot of people who spend all their life jealous and upset and angry because they can't control you. Man, a lot of relationships, this is a big issue. So you got somebody and, you know, he doesn't or she doesn't do what you think they should do. So you spend a lot of your time and your energy because you're jealous. Jealous is like envy. You want something that's not yours. And then it says wrath. Wrath is a resentful indignation. Wrath. Wrath is like, you know, uncontrollable resentment and anger. Wrath is the opposite of worth. Don't do that. Wrath, instead of seeing worth in people, you see wrath in people. You don't see no value in them. Wrath means you don't see no strength. You don't see nothing worthwhile in an individual. But notice how the teachings of Silvanus starts off. It says abolish every childhood time of life. So you're an adult. We are spiritual adults. So why are we acting like spiritual children? It says stop acting like a child. Grow up. How do we grow up? It says, okay, stop doing these things. And then it says, and then it goes on and it says, guard your camp and weapons and spears. Brothers and sisters, everybody listens to this show, you have a camp, you got weapons, you got spears. Then it says, arm yourself and all the soldiers, which are the words. So your words are your weapons. Let's understand. Your words are your weapons. One more time. Your words are your weapons. It is very, very important, my brothers, that we understand. That's why I love reading these ancient texts, because it helps us to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify. And I keep saying it, I'm going to keep saying it. Your words create your world. So this book says that your words, not mine, your words are your weapons, not mine. So if you're using the wrong words, you got the wrong weapon. Words, brothers and sisters, words, even in the ancient non-canonized text, it still talks about and expresses the importance, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. This is your weapons and your spears. This is your soldiers. These are your, and I continue reading, it says, arm yourself with your soldiers, which are your words, and the commanders, which are the counsels, and your mind as a guarding principle. So your words are the commanders, and your words are counsels, or counselors, counsels. Your words give you counsel. Then it says, and your mind is your guiding principle. So my brothers and my sisters, there are a lot of people who leave their mind at home when they go to any religious activity, not just church, but anything. You want to take your mind with you. The mind is the reason and logic part of the brain. And wherever you go, take your mind with you. Why? That is your guiding principle. So what does that mean, Brother Will? Your mind is your guiding principle. Why the mind and not the heart? What is the word guide? The word guide is the thing that assists you to reach your destination, a guiding principle. So the mind, again, is where we have reason and logic, where also we have emotional centers. The mind is where we release and control all of the hypothalamus, the amygdala, the pineal gland. They control all of the hormones inside the body. So as a man, so is he. But most people don't understand that the mind is actually in the heart. I love the way it says in heartmath.com. Again, it's called heartmath.org, or the Heart Institute. And they talk about how the heart has a reasoning mechanism inside of it. And so I would like to submit as well, when it says that your mind is not talking about your brain, it actually is talking about the heart, but the mind that dwells in the heart. Because, again, there's a lot of medical research that backs up that the heart emits 100 times more electricity and magnetism than the brain. Brain processes. It's a processor. The heart put what into the brain to process. So the heart tells the brain what to compute. So the heart is the guiding principle. That's what a father always appeals to the heart. Now, you need both. You need the heart and the head. You need your mind and you need your heart. You need both. It says, let them, your mind and your heart, let both of them be your guiding principle. And then it goes on. Again, I'm reading from the teachings of Sylvanus. In chapter 2 or verse 2, it says, now again, this is important. It says, my son, throw every robber out of your gates. Get rid of them. Throw every robber out of your gates. Guard all your gates with torches, which are the words. And you will acquire through all these things a quiet life. Okay, brothers and sisters, got too much chaos going on in your life? You got too much upheaval? Throw out the robbers out of the gates. Guard all of your gates with torches, which are the words. So the torches are words. They guard your gates. What are the gates? Your five senses. So things come into your eyes. They come into your nose. They come into your mouth. They come into your ears. They come into your hands. Your five senses are gates. They're portals. Guard them. Put a torch to them. Next to them, that's your words. And then it says, and then you acquire through this peace of mind or acquire life. Then it continues, again, the teachings of Sylvanus. But he who will not guard these things will become like a city which is desolate. Since it has been captured, all kinds of wild beasts have trampled upon it. For thoughts which are not good or evil wild beasts. Let me say that again. For thoughts which are not good or evil wild beasts. Let me say that again. For thoughts which are not good or evil wild beasts. Let me say that again. Your thoughts that you think which are not good or evil wild beast, they run through your brain and they make your brain desolate. They are like wild beast trampling through a city. Your thoughts, not mine. Your thoughts that are not good. The Bible tells us what to think on. The Bible says think on these things. And then it lists those things that we should think on. I'm reading from the teachings of Sylvanus. It says, my brothers and my sisters, that your thoughts, which are not good, are evil wild beasts, and your city will be filled with robbers, and you will not be able to acquire peace, but only all kinds of savage. Remember, if you pride the salve, S-A-L-V-E, of the word of God, you will salvage or save or bring about salvation of the city, which is your brain, which is your mind, which is your will, which is your emotion, which is your imagination, which is your intellect, which is the soul. There's a war going on right now for your soul, brother. There's a war going on right now for your soul. So you got all of these evil thoughts coming into your head. Some of them may, some of them may not be true. That it doesn't say anything about that. All it says is that if they ain't good, they evil beast. So that's why I say on every show, and I will continue to say it, I don't care how many problems you got. I don't care what your mate is doing. I don't care what your children is doing. I don't care what's going on in the world. Think on these things. The Bible tells us specifically what to think about, but none of us do it. So the question is, why don't we follow the instructions that the Father has given us? So we got a brain, but we're not using it correctly. It says, think on these. And then it tells you what to think on in Philippians 4, 7, 4, 8. Remember, it says, first of all, it says, whatever's true. Notice, my brothers and sisters, if you don't want wild beasts running through your city, your brain, and destroying it and turning your brain into a desolation, you know why you don't have peace? People ask me all the time, Brother Will, you don't scare easy. Now, I've been accused of being detached. My wife tells me all the time, she's a little disinterested. Yeah, I just don't do cray cray. Because I used to, and my life was, whoa, totally out of control. I was an emotional wreck, up and down, left, right, happy, sad. My day depended upon my bank account and whether or not the relationship I was in, whether or not she was treating me the way I wanted to be treated. And so I found out that my happiness depended upon things outside of me. So for 40 years, I lived my life depending upon happiness to come from outside of me. My happiness depended upon things that was outside of me. This is exactly what it's saying in the teachings of Sylvanus. It says that many people, right now you have a wild beast running through your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect, and it is destroying the city because you are not thinking on good. You're thinking on bad, but people tell me all the time, Brother Will, you don't understand. The bad is reality. It is real. Did the scriptures say anything about whether or not it was real or not? It doesn't care if it's real. Because real to us is not real to God. And so the Bible specifically tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and I quote in the King Jimmy, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Number one, whatsoever things are honest. Number two, whatsoever things are just. Number three, whatsoever things are pure. Number four, whatsoever things are lovely. Number five, whatsoever things are of a good report. Number six, good report. Number six, good report. So you get a bad report. Do you think on it? Okay, I can't find it in the scripture. I can't find where it says on bad reports. So if somebody can find it, please let me know because I can't find it. It says, whatsoever things are of a good report. Then, that's number six. Then it says, if there is any virtue. Number seven, if there is any praise. Number eight, think on these things. That's what it tells me. Now, your Bible may read a little differently. That's what mine says. So since I'm kind of good with that one. Thank you very much. But then Philippians 4, 9 says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So if I come and tell you something and you haven't learned it, You haven't received it. You haven't heard it. You haven't seen it. Don't practice it. I never teach nothing I haven't learned, received, heard, seen, and practiced. Because then the God of peace will not be with you. The God of wrath will show up and hang out with you. Because why? Peter we know, Paul we know, but who are you? There's too many people trying to do stuff that they ain't been designed, called, or gifted by God to do. See, whatever you call to do, that's what you've been through. If you want to know what you've been called to do, look at what you've been through. Ask Moses. Moses was raised, he was Hebrew, he was raised an Egyptian. He left 40 years out hanging out with the camp of Midian. Then where did God send him back? He sent him right back to Egypt. Why? That's what he had been through. God always equips you, brothers and sisters, before he calls you. See, God don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Understand? So you're getting qualifications. All your qualifications you're getting ain't going to do you no good. God calls you, then he qualifies you. So I had a good friend of mine tell me, Brother Will, you're not qualified nor called to teach. Really? Well, assalamu alaikum, God bless you. And I keep teaching. Why? That person that told me that, they ain't God. So make sure you're getting your advice from God, not from me. Not from no Reverend Dr. Bishop or some knucklehead who walk around calling and says Master Teacher 33. Or anybody else that got a fancy acronym after their name. Why? We are all glorified dirt. Period. I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you do. You shoot me, guess what? Blood comes out. I don't walk on water or levitate. Therefore, my words is no more valuable than yours. Everything I'm doing, you can do it and probably better. That's all this is saying. That's why this text is so paramount, brothers and sisters. Because what it is saying from a non-canonized, from the teachings of Sylvanus, he says that there's wild beasts that is trampling upon you and you let them in. Why you let them in? But you want to call somebody else. Now you want to blame the white man, the black man, the blue man, the government, Obama, and you let them in. And they made your city desolate. Then it says, since it has been captured, so your mind, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect has been captured, now you got a strong man sitting in the seat of your soul. The Bible says, what man goes into a man's house without first binding the strong man? First of all, how did he get there? Oh, I know how he got there. We just read it in verse 1 of the teachings of Sylvanus. It says that your words are your weapons. It says that guard your camp and weapons and spears. Arm yourself and all your soldiers, which are your words. So we're using the wrong words, and we're leaving our camp open. Then it says we're letting robbers in through our gates. It says guard your gates with torches, which are your words. So my words are weapons, they're spears, they are commanders, they are counseling, they will lead me, they will guide me. My words stand guard like a torch, like an angel with a fiery sword in his hand. My words. Then it says, you will acquire through all of these a quiet life if you use good words. Then it says, but he who will not guard these things will become like a city that is desolate. Since it has been captured, all kinds of wild beasts have trampled upon it. For thoughts which are not good are evil wild beasts. Let me say it again. For thoughts which are not good are evil wild beasts. And your city will be filled with robbers. And you will not be able to acquire peace. And you will not be able to acquire peace. And you will not be able to acquire peace. Somebody listening to this show right now, you don't got no peace. Why? Your thoughts are jacked. You're not thinking good. Read Philippians 4:8. It tells you exactly what to think about. If you're thinking about anything that's not in Philippians 4:8, change your thinking today. Because it says that you have not acquired peace, but only all kinds of savage. Now, I'm a wordsmith. You guys know that. You guys know that I like to, you know, look at the etymology of words because the cosmogrator hides in etymology. He's an etymology god because words are frequencies. So etymology is the different frequencies of each word. You get frequency one of the word salvage. It means fierce. So you read that, fierce and cruel. You say, okay. So the teachings of Sylvanus says that all kinds of salvage wild beasts come in when I use the wrong words, salvage. So salvage means fierce, it means cruel, it means, you know, wild, untamed. Those are all different radio stations of that one word. You can tune in and you can be cruel. You can tune in to fierce. You can tune in to brutal. You can tune in. All of these are different frequencies of this one word, salvage. Not salvage, savage. Savage. You're savage. So when we don't do our job, savage beasts come in. But the word savage means undomesticated. It means untamed. It means strange. It means pagan. P-A-G-A-N. That's the smoking gun. It comes from a Latin word, silva, S-I-V-A-L. That means grove. It means it comes from another word that means reckless or ungovernable. So all of this is the result because you don't want to think on a good report. So when you don't think good things, fierce, ferocious, undomesticated, untamed, wild, strange, pagan, groves, reckless, ungovernable, you open yourself up for all of this type of frequencies. That's what words are. So if you use the wrong words, you open yourself up to the wrong frequencies. That's why you don't have no peace. You don't have peace because the ancient text is telling you right here in the teachings of Sylvanus that words are your weapons. They guard your portals. Your portals are dinner, your five senses. So if you use the wrong words, you leave your eyes open. Anybody can walk in. You leave your nose open. Now, smells are spells. So if you smell the wrong thing, you are under the wrong spell. Now, we all know that your eyes is the window to the soul. So you look at the wrong stuff, they just walk right in. A wild beast just walks right in because you're looking at the wrong report. The doctor got his report. Okay, what does God say? Whose report are you going to believe? Savage. Just by using the wrong words, you open yourself up for all kinds of savage wild beasts. Then it reads, the wicked one, who is a tyrant, is lord over these. While directing this, he, the wicked one, is beneath the great mire. The whole city, which is your soul, will perish. Brothers and sisters, wow, I just got chills reading that. Let's understand. The wicked one, we all know him. I got a 400-page book called The Cosmogrator. If you don't know him, I can introduce you to him. He used to be my employer. I used to hang out with him. You know, we used to break bread. He's a cruel taskmaster. In fact, he's exactly what it says here in the teachings of Sylvanus, tyrant. Again, I'm a wordsmith. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I like to look up the definitions of words. Now, the word tyrant, two words, tie, like I want to tie you up, and then rant. The word tyrant means a sovereign ruler who uses oppressive power. Now, you know the three steps to demonic possession, remember? Oppression, depression, possession. Now, we can throw in the fourth element if we like, recession. So I oppress you, I depress you, then I recess. Recess means a voluntary stoppage of normal thinking. Now, you used to think right, But since I oppress you, oppress is cruel, harsh, unjust treatment. Doesn't have to be real. It is perceived. I could walk up to you and give you $1 million, and that could be oppressive to you. Maybe you've taken a vow of poverty. You're muck. You want to walk around in the sheet, hang out at airports. So I walk up to you and I give you $1 million. Most people say that's a blessing. But to someone who's taken a vow of poverty, man, that is cruel, harsh, and unjust treatment. I don't want your $1 million. You just oppressed me. Now I'm depressed. Depression means a lowering of one's mindset, one's mental state. See, I push down your mental state, your spirit, so I can make room for a new one. Depression. I depress to lower your mental state. Recess means a voluntary stoppage of normal activity. That leaves you open for possess. It means that I come in, set up shop, now I'm in the driver's seat. Now you my boy. You work for me now. That's the devil's 3-4-step process. He's been using it since the Garden of Eden. You think he's going to change? Why change if it's working? So this book tells me that he is a tyrant. And how he ties you up? Oppressive. He has an oppressive regime. But it also means influence, a tyrant. A tyrant is someone who uses oppressive influence, a tyrant. A tyrant is also means an absolute ruler. It means lord, master. It means absolute master. The word tyrant, my brothers and sisters, means an individual who is arrogant, and he has authority to back up his arrogancy, whether it's stolen or not, tyrant. So there is, again, the reason why thoughts and words are so important. Because they come from this tyrant. That's why you got to bring every thought into captivity and see if it is of God. That's what the scriptures tell us to do. I don't understand why we're not doing it. So you get a thought in your head that says that you're a loser. Is that a good report? The Bible tells me to bring every thought into captivity. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. So I don't understand why we don't. Because if we finish reading the teachings of Salvanus, it's going to blow your cookies, because you're going to see the magnitude of one word. Life and death is in the power of your tongue, brothers and sisters. I've been saying this for a long time. This book just backs up what I've been preaching for 20 years. And everybody tells me, brother, it's not that serious, man. Calm down. Really? Well, I'm going to put a bullet in my head. That's how serious it was. So this is serious business for me. Because the scripture tells me, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says something that's very, very profound. Let's start with verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. We've all heard that scripture before. Let me say it again. The weapons of our warfare are not, what warfare? I didn't know I was in a war. Oh, yeah. You're in a war, brothers and sisters. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling them down. We've got to pull them down, brothers and sisters. We've got to pull them down. They set up shop, and they run in the show, and they are tyrants. We've got to get rid of that strong man. And then it says in verse 5, casting down imaginations. Okay. You got my attention now. Why? Mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect, that's part of my soul, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice what it's going against. Notice it is fighting against the knowledge of God. So you get thoughts that violate the knowledge of God. The enemy will always come at you to make you doubt the knowledge of God. That's his only weapon. Unfortunately, it's a very good one. What did he come with Adam and Eve? What did he tell them? Did God really say? Notice his attack. He didn't attack them. He attacked the knowledge of God. So the enemy will always get you to water down the knowledge of God. Now, you know right from wrong, but the enemy is going to tell you, did God really say? No, that's not what he really meant. Come on. God didn't really mean that. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity every thought. Bring it into captivity every thought. Now, every other thought, right? Okay, every thought on Monday. I'm a thought catcher on Mondays. I take off the rest of the week. That's not what it said. It says everybody, you know, the dog catcher goes around neighborhoods. What is he looking for? You know, the dog catcher doesn't mess with dogs that are on a leash. They don't mess with dogs that are inside of a pen, but dogs that are running loose, a wild. What did we read earlier in the teachings of Sylvanus? Thoughts that are running wild, the dog catcher. Guess what you are? You are a thought catcher. Where are all of my thought catchers at? You'll have no peace, brothers, because you are not catching your thoughts. Everybody listening to this show is a thought catcher. Everybody. Just nobody told you that you were. Very, 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 very important. Brothers and sisters, you are a thought catcher. Your job is to capture thoughts. Any thought running around that does not line up with the knowledge of God, catch it, get rid of it. That's your job. Let me make sure that you understand your purpose on planet Earth: to catch thoughts and get rid of them. That's your basic purpose. Everybody is a thought catcher. So your job is to make sure that every thought you bring, now what do you do with it? It says, and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, Brother Will, that sounds great, man, but you know what? What does that mean? Could you tell me? Okay, let's break it down in the New Living Translation. Let's get some basic English. It says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts, and we teach them to obey Christ. Now, you guys know that I put a lot of emphasis on whether they use the word Jesus Christ, whether they use the word Christ Jesus, and whether they use just the word Christ or just the word Jesus. Each totally different. If that scripture says in bringing them into the obedience of Jesus Christ, it's talking about the person, the place, and the position. If it says in bringing them to the obedience of Christ Jesus, it's talking about the position. It's talking about the person and the place. But if it says Jesus, it's talking about the person. But if it says Christ, it's talking about the position. In other words, you bring every thought that you have and you match it up with your purpose. If your thought is not taking you in the direction of your purpose, get rid of it. That is what it said. Bring every thought to the obedience of your purpose, not mine. Oh, you don't know what your purpose is. Okay, yeah, Houston, we have a problem. So you're living your life and you're just going through life. Now, we already know that you're a thought catcher. That's your number one purpose. Number two purpose, we already know, again, it's God's will that none should perish and that all it should come into the knowledge. So I'm on my purpose is not to do my will, but do the will of my Father. That's what Yahushua said. Yahushua said, I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do the will of my Father. So, okay, that's another one of my purposes. Now, everybody listening to this show, you have a corporate purpose. You have a personal purpose. And you have a private purpose. You need to know all three. Now, I do a 500-page Dear Canary report. If you don't have one, you need to email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. The email address again, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. So that way you can get your Dear Canary report. Or get on your knees, the Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me into all truth. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into your purpose. My purpose is I'm a didactic teacher. That's why I'm doing this show. So I teach didakilas. The Greek word didakilas, it actually means boring. If you go to dictionary.com and type in the word didactic, it means boring step-by-step teaching. That's how Yahushua taught. He taught with exoteric and esoteric. It means something that has an outside meaning and an inside meaning. So most people come on the show after 30 minutes, they're like, man, this dude just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Yeah, I got to bounce. You want to know why I keep saying the same thing and I keep repeating? Because that's how you learn, through repetition. So that's my purpose. What's yours? See, I know my purpose, and it took me 40 years to find it. That's why I teach other people, so that way you don't have to spend 40 years finding your purpose, because the whole time you're looking for your purpose, the tyrant is looking for you. And guess what? When he finds you, he's going to go into your city, and he's going to make it desolate. He's going to capture it, and all kinds of wild beasts is going to trample through your thoughts. So your thoughts are robbers. But your thoughts should be weapons. They should be spears. They should be soldiers. They should be commanders. They should give you counsel. They should guide you based upon your principle, which is based upon your purpose. So purpose establishes principle. Principle establishes process. Process establishes procedure. Procedure leads to product. Product develops profit. Profit leads to prosperity. Prosperity results in peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that comes from God. That is what the teachings of Salvanus is telling us, brothers and sisters, that we got a thought problem. There's not enough thought catchers on the planet. So we need to be retrained in thought catching. We need to understand that the wicked one, who is a tyrant, he is the lord over all these what? Thoughts. Which ones? The evil wild beast. He sends bad thoughts into your head. No one has to ask again where these thoughts come from. They come from the evil one, a.k.a. the tyrant. He's the lord over these. While directing this, he, the wicked one, is beneath the great mire. The whole city, which is your soul, will perish. So these first two chapters is talking about a city. And it says, if you listen to and have a good report, the city will prosper. If you don't listen to the good report, wild beasts will come into the city, which is your soul, and you will perish. Then it continues, it says, remove yourself from these, O wretched soul. Bring your guide and your teacher. The mind is the guide, but reason is the teacher. They will bring you out of destruction and danger. Let me say that again. The teachings of Silvanus. Remove yourself from these things. What things? Bad thoughts. Oh, wretched soul. Bring your guide and your teacher. Okay? Who's my guide? Who's my teacher? The mind is the guide. Reason, and I would add logic, is your teacher. Where is that located at? In the frontal lobe. We've talked about that in yesterday's show, in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Revelation, where it talks about that the enemy want to put something on your right hand and in your frontal lobe. That's where reason and logic lives, based upon science. Not the pineal gland. You need to activate your frontal lobe, not your third eye. You can activate your third eye all you want. You won't have a mystical experience, but you won't have no reason. You won't have no logic. You're still going to have bad behavior. Why? Because your mind is your guide. Reason is your teacher. Now, the mind, for me, is your heart. Because, again, the heart emits 100 times more thoughts. What are thoughts? Electricity and magnetism. Now, again, we can get into some serious science, but we're keeping it G-rated today. So the heart emits 100 times more thoughts than your brain. And so that guides you, but you need reason because that teaches you. And then what it says, they will bring you out of destruction and danger. So anybody having, you got destruction, you got danger, you don't have no peace in your life, okay? Listen to your heart and use your head. Follow your heart, not mine, not the Reverend Dr. Bishop, not Hare Krishna, not the great Dalai Lama. It says follow your mind. Use your reason. Everybody has a guide and a teacher. Let me overstate that again. You don't need one. You already got one. Guess where is that? The kingdom of God is within. Oh, where did I hear that at before? Oh, the Gospel of Thomas. Oh, yeah. But that's not inside of the canon either. So in order to come out of the destruction, we need a teacher, and we need a guide. Thankfully, we got one. Then it says, listen, my brother, I'm sorry, my son, listen, my son, to my advice. Do not show your back to your enemies. Do not show your back to enemies and flee, but rather pursue them as a strong one. Be not an animal with men pursuing you, but rather be a man with you pursuing the evil wild beast, lest somehow they become victorious over you and trample upon you as a dead man, and you perish due to their wickedness. Brothers and sisters, that paragraph, whoa, I could teach for 3 whole 5 hours on that one paragraph. Let's break this down, brothers and sisters. We're reading from the teachings of Sylvanus. It's a cookie blower. What this is saying is remarkable to me. I don't know about you guys. It says, listen, first of all, it says, listen to my advice, son. Do not show your back to your enemies and flee. Let me ask y'all something. Why y'all run from the devil? Let me say that again. Why the devil got more power than your God? Why you call people and you tell, why you call me or email me and tell me what the devil is doing? I get very few calls or emails of people calling me or emailing me and telling me what God is doing. Why are you running from the devil? So you got bad news. You got a bad report. And? Next. Do not show your back to your enemies and flee. Stop running. The devil goes around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He just want to gum you to death. That's all he can do. You know, in all the scary movies that the people usually hurt themselves, the ghost, the apparition, the, you know, the entity, whatever it is, usually you run and boof, you run into a house, you run out to a street, you can run over by a car. Usually you end up hurting yourself because of fear. See, when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I don't fear no evil. Why? Somebody is with me. His rod and his staff, he comforts me. You might want to try the Father of Life, the all-knowing, incomprehensible, unknown Father of Fathers. You see, my brothers and sisters, stop showing your back to the enemy because he's going to stick you in your back. Make sure you're looking at him in the eyeballs, eye to eye. And then do this. It says, pursue them as a strong one. See, I wake up every morning, I go looking for the devil. That's why I do these shows. So when the devil shows up and I find him, do you think I'm surprised when somebody go to my Facebook page and post negative stuff? Do you think I'm surprised when I get a death threat in the middle of the night? Do you think I'm surprised when I get somebody who says crazy stuff, send me an email? Do you think I'm surprised? But it says, don't be an animal like them. But it says, with men pursuing you, don't be an animal with men who are pursuing you, but rather be a man with you pursuing evil. But notice what it says. It says, be a man with you pursuing the evil wild beast, lest somehow they become victorious over you and they trample up on you as a dead man, and you perish due to their wickedness. Brothers and sisters, what did we read earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The New Living Translation says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Let me be crystal clear on this point. Notice what it says in the teachings of Sylvanus. It says, don't go after men. Go after wild beasts. What are wild beasts? Thoughts. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of men. No. For the pulling down of strongholds. imaginations and every high thing that tries to exalt itself. This is a frequency war that has been engaged by a frequency god using frequency weapons. So you get out there in your flesh and blood and take it on a frequency god, and you get mowed down. If you are going up against a frequency god that has a frequency weapon, you might want to become a frequency yourself, and you might want to get a frequency weapon. So you never take a knife to a gunfight. You don't take flesh to a frequency fight. This is a frequency war, brothers. This is a frequency war, sisters. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. So I wage war in the metaphysical realm. That is why I'm a metaphysician. That is why I do these shows. That's why everybody else is talking about what you do in your flesh, and I'm talking about what you're thinking in your head. So you continue to focus on your flesh. You feeding the beast. So you're looking at your problem. You're trying to stop your problem. And the mere fact that you're focusing on the problem, you get more problem. I don't do problem. I could care less what my flesh is doing, because with my mind, I serve God. With my flesh, I serve the devil. He created it. He can have it. Because when I die, guess what? My flesh goes back to the ground. My spirit goes back to God. My brothers and sisters, you better understand quick, because God is spirit. Those that worship him, those that war for him, those that fight for him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You need two weapons. You need spirit and truth. All this other stuff you got, it is wearing you down. Get rid of it. You need the spirit of God. You need the truth of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to destroy the wild beast. Because it says here, again, in this great teaching of Sylvanus, it says, be not an animal with men pursuing you. So don't be, wow, this is a tough one. So you go to the store, you got a clerk behind the counter, and her customer service is whack. You go to the counter, you want to give her a piece of your mind. She did not greet you. She did not acknowledge you. You walk to the counter and she said, what you want? And she's smacking on her gun. You about ready. You living. Where your supervisor at? And you call the supervisor over there and say, this individual you got working here, you need to let you go off. You're just wasting your time. That individual is controlled by a ruling disposition. There's wild beasts running through her head. She don't have no peace of mind. Why? She's been oppressed. She's been depressed. And finally, she's possessed. And so you go down to her level, and you're like, let me give you a piece of my mind, home chicky. You don't address me like this, and you don't, and you go off. And now, guess what? You're on their level now. Yeah. So you want to go to, it's like you're going to come into my house, and you want to start a fight. I would not advise it. See, I know where every weapon is. You don't. I know where every knife is. I know where every brick is. I live here. So you won't come to my house and talk trash. That is not advisable. If anything, you want to get me out from the comfort of my home, and you want to get me into your home where you have an advantage. Why? You live there. You know where everything is at. So the devil is coming into your brain, into your brain, into your home, your city, and he's running rampant through your city, and you are allowing that to happen? Oh, hell no. This is my head. This is my brain. All 100 billion neurons, I control them by giving them to God. So I decided, you know what? I could run this show, but God created the show. So how about I do what it says in Galatians? And I said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. So the number one Lucifer in the agenda, it says, do as thy wilt. So the cosmographer, he wants me to do that. So I know that, so I don't do that. Instead, I deny myself. I pick up my cross and I follow him. Why? That destroys the wild beast. See, while you're trying to wage war, brothers and sisters, we are not reading what the scripture says when it says that we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. And we make it obedient. We don't ask. We make it obedient to, again, the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. That's what the word Christ means. And if we understand what that means, when we read what we just read, and let me read it again, it says, listen, my son, to my advice. Do not show your back to your enemies and flee. 99.9999999% of the people listening to this show right now, you're running. You've been sprinting all your life. Stop running. Stop turning your back to the cosmic rocker. You say, okay, Brother Will, what do I do? It says, but rather pursue them as a strong one. Do you know that you are a royal priest? Do you know you are a holy nation? Do you know that you are a joint heir? Do you know that greater is he that dwells in you than he that dwells up in the world? You know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. You know, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give gifts to his children who ask? So we have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Christ in you, the hope of glory. But yet we running. Stop running. Stop running. You get a bad report. What does it say? It says, remember what we read earlier? We only do this. Let me quote it again. Let's go back up to chapter 1. All kinds of wild beasts have trampled up on you for thoughts which are not good or evil wild beasts. Notice it did not say whether the thoughts that are not good are true or not. So you get a thought, and it's true. What is the thought? I go to my bank. Bank says, your account is in the negative, homeboy. I got a bill due. Now, that is not a good report. But the scripture didn't say whether it was accurate or not. It just says that if it's not a good report. See, we take ownership of bad reports. Those are not yours. Remember that song when we was a kid, we used to sing, my father is rich with houses and land. He holds the power of the world in his hand. Remember that song? So I get a bad report. I do what the word says. I do what it says in Philippians 4:8. Okay? Philippians 4:8 tells me, finally, brethren, whatever is true. Is it true? Yeah, it's true. Whatever is honorable, is it honorable? Yeah, I don't know about that. Whatever is right, okay, it's right. Whatever is pure, is it pure? I don't know about that. Is it lovely? I don't think so. Whatever is good, if there's any excellence. And so what I do is I go through every thought because I'm a thought catcher. Just because a thought has validity, just because a thought is factual on this plane and this dimension does not mean that I think on it. It is not good. Now, brothers and sisters, what is good? Now, this is a cookie blow. I don't want to blow too many cookies today. So I'm just going to give you the watered-down version. You know the word good comes from the Greek word kris or krestos. There's two words that you need to get familiar with. We're going to be breaking it down in our pay-per-view. Again, Strong Concordance number 5543, cookie blower. It occurs seven times in the Greek text. C-H-R-E-S-T, not C-H-R-I-S-T, cookie blower. We're going to break down the difference between the rest and the rest. We're going to break down the difference between R-E-S-T and R-I-S-T, one letter. See, this is the mind games that the Cosmic Rocker plays every day, all day. What's the difference between Python and Pytho? Now, Python, large snake, right? Go down to the bottom of the page. It means to prophesy with demonic utterance. Pytho, to prophesy with divine utterance. So Python and Pytho are so close that you could easily be prophesying with demonic spirits instead of divine spirits. Are you a python? Do you got the python or do you got the pytho? Do you got the Christos or the Christos? Christ means good. Christ means anointed. Now, that rabbit trail is very deep. We're going to tackle that one here later on in another show. But what's important today, my brothers and sisters, under and understand that any report that is not good, we capture it because it's setting you up for wild beasts, negative thoughts. So even though the report is true, it's not good for you to dwell upon it because it is true. You go to the doctor, they show you the x-ray machine, cancer in your body. Is it true? Yes. Is it good? No. So, okay. So what do? I got cancer. Doctor said I got cancer. Okay. I know a guy named Dr. Sabi, cures cancer 100%. I know a guy, Dr. Max Gershom, no longer here, but his wife, Claudette Gershom, she has an institute down in San Diego called the Gershom Institute. They cure 70, 80, 90% cancer. I know a gentleman by the name of Jethro Cross, cure cancer. I know Dr. Roy Raymond Wright, cure cancer. I know Robert Beck, cure cancer. So, now, that's good. Why? Those are options that destroy bad. So I got an option. I can dwell on bad report, wild beasts, bad thoughts into my head. They're going to run through my head. They're going to destroy my mind. They're going to take my peace. They're going to oppress me. They're going to depress me. And then I'm possessed by demonic spirits all because I got one bad report. I go outside my driveway, my car is repoed. Now, I know I'm late on the payment. I talk to the bank. Now, this is a true story. I talk to the bank. They said, no problem, Mr. Rogers. We're going to extend it. We're going to give you an extra 30 days. Let us just verify your address for to put them on our record. Okay, no problem. Thank you for working with me. I appreciate that. Well, you know, we're here for, you know, you've been with us for a while. We know the car is almost paid off. You've had the car for 4 years, and you never missed a payment. You got 6 months left on this car. So we want to work with you. Okay, great. This is my address. Thank you so much for working with me. 3 hours later, my car's gone. Why? They know the car's almost paid off. So they're going to resell it and make more money. Now, is that a good report? Now, is that a true, accurate report? That is a true statement. Was I behind on my payment? Absolutely. Did they have a right to pick up their car? Absolutely. But they gave me their word that they were not. So I got two options. I got number one, I can cry over spilled milk. I can call. I can get me a lawyer. I can say, but you promised me. You gave me your verbal word. I can spend all my energy on fighting this negative. Or I can focus on the good. Okay, I'm an able body. I got the activities of my limb. I got a strong back. Brain works pretty good. Guess what? I can go get a job and get me another one. I chose to go get a job and get another one. I refuse to dwell on the negative. Why? That opens you up. Now, remember what it says. It says that removes the torch from the gateway. So positive thinking, in other words, thinking on good things, removes the robbers out of your city. And it allows you to acquire, it removes the wicked one and the savage beast. Your thoughts are torches. There's a fiery furnace that protects you from destruction and danger. But if you don't do that, then what happens is you're running. You turn your back to the enemy, and you're not strong. And so the enemy knows that you're not strong. He knows you're weak. He knows that you're running scared because you believe the negative report. I don't care if you got – so you got – even – brother, sister, let's be real. I know people who got negative reports. They believe God, they were dead in a week. God didn't show up, didn't do nothing. I'd rather die with God than to die without him. Thank you. That's just me. So either way we slice it, I'm looking at the good. The glass is always half full. The dark cloud always have a silver lining. There's always a ram in the bush. Even when they bury me in the box, I want on my tombstone, there is a ram in the bush. Even if I don't see the ram, it don't mean he's not there. I refuse to accept failure. I refuse to accept defeat. Failure is not an option. Failure does not exist in my life. That word doesn't exist. The word impossible is the word I am possible. Put an apostrophe between the I and the M. Impossible is I'm possible. That's the kind of God I serve. I serve the God of the impossible. So you tell me what your God can't do, I'll tell you what my God can do. I'm not running from no devils or no demons. Period. Important, my brothers, that we pursue evil. But what is it? Evil is not people. Evil is frequency, vibration. So we live in a vibrational world. I got every reverend, Dr. Bishop on the planet telling me that this is a good place. Let me say that again. We live in a vibrational world. Notice what the teachings of Sylvanus says is evil, wild beast, and is a tyrant. In the book of Psalms, it says, be still and know. Everything in this universe vibrates. We live in a world that is based upon electromagnetic frequency. Now, the tyrant, the little g of this world, is a vibrational God. It says, let me read it again. I'm reading from, again, the teachings of Sylvanus. It says, while directing, now he's a director. Let's go back up. Again, I'm in chapter, really just paragraph, second paragraph, midway through the second paragraph. It says, and your city will be filled with robbers, and you will not be able to acquire peace. Why? You believe, above it says, it's reason why, for your thoughts are not good. They are evil, wild beasts. And then, I drop down two sentences, it says, and your city will be filled with robbers. Why? You're not thinking about good. Like he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you're thinking about bad. Even if the bad is true, don't think about it. Think about the good. That's how you acquire peace. Then it says, if you don't think about the good, it says that all kinds of savage, not just wild beasts, they're savage. We broke down that word, ferocious, fierce, undomesticated. Wild beasts will come in and they are pagan. Wonder why paganism is so rapid in the world today. But then it says the cookie blower, the wicked one who is the tyrant. He's the Lord over this. So people ain't doing it. The tyrant is doing it. So I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. The tyrant is the enemy. Why? Next sentence. While directing this, he, the tyrant, the wicked one, is beneath the great mire. M-I-R-E. He is beneath the mire. You ever heard of this word, miry clay? Think about that, brothers and sisters. Where have you heard that word? He is beneath the mire. I'm going to let that marinate for just a moment. He is beneath the mire. Now, the word mire occurs 15 times in the King Jimmy. Mire. Now, we are made from miry clay. Mire. He's beneath it. I'm letting it marinate. Mire, M-I-R-E. He is beneath it. Beneath the mire, brothers and sisters, beneath the clay, beneath the dust, beneath the ashes, is a frequency God. This frequency God, okay, is running the scenes, running the show. He's a little g. He's the God of this world. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 6, verse 12. And so if we don't over and understand that this frequency God is manipulating miry clay, that is you. I mean, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you are miry clay. Psalms chapter 40, verse 2. It says, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet up on the rock, making my footsteps firm. Miry clay. Now, the word miry, M-I-R-Y, where was the word mire, again, has to do with muddy or ruddy. where we get the word Adam, or Adamu, or Adam. That has to do with you. So my birth message is contrary to popular belief. There's not too many people out there who is revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying this. Your flesh is not your friend. That's the same thing it says. I don't know why it's a really big deal. Seems to be. So when people read my book, I Am Too Human. So in my book, I Am Too Human, if you don't have a copy of it, please go to my website, masterteacher33.com. Click on the link that says products and services. Pick up a copy of my book, I Am Too Human. In the word human, according to the dictionary, means a spiritual monster. That's what it says in the Webster's Dictionary. And so if you can understand, my brothers and sisters, that Webster's New World Dictionary, third college edition in 1988 on page 657, it breaks down some very interesting terms. Now, you can get any good dictionary, and it'll break this down for you. But you see, my brothers and sisters, for I am conscious that is in me, that is in my flesh, there is nothing good. I have the mind, but not the power to do what is right. Now, we've read that before. Everybody's read that, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. And so the enemy knows this. So what this is breaking down for us, again, I hate to basically, beat a dead horse, but this horse ain't dead. He's still riding. Because we don't overstand. What is it that we don't overstand? The wicked one is beneath the miry clay. The wicked one is beneath the great mire. The whole city, which is your soul, will perish. What is the soul? Mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect. So the cosmic rotor manipulating. He's basically mind-effing you. Pardon my French. Our job is to prevent it. How do we do that? Philippians 4:8. Simple, but yet difficult. Why? We don't want to be word catchers. We don't want to be thought catchers. We don't want to control this thing called the tongue. So it's very, very important, my brothers and sisters, because the next chapter says something, and I'm closing with this. It says, "Oh, wretched man, what will you do if you fall into their hands? Protect yourself lest you be delivered into the hands of your enemies. Entrust yourself to this pair of friends, reason and mind. And no one will be victorious over you. May God dwell in your camp. May the Spirit protect your gates. And may the mind of divinity protect your walls. Let holy reason become a torch in your mind, burning the wood, which is the whole of sin." And then there's some fragments missing, and then it picks up where we'll pick up tomorrow, where it says, "My son, listen to my teachings, which is good and useful, and end the sleep which weighs heavily upon you. Depart from the forgetfulness which fills you with darkness." But let's go back. It says, "Oh, wretched man, what will you do if you fall into their hands?" So what are you going to do, brothers? So the last time I listened to the show, you already in their hands. You've been oppressed, cruel, harsh, unjust treatment. You've been depressed, lowering of one's mental state. You've been possessed, seizing of your soul. Somebody has seized. They didn't ask. Now, you cannot stop thinking about bad stuff. You try every day you wake up, but you are overrun by emotions because of your thoughts are focusing on bad stuff. Now, it is violent stuff. I understand. I'm not saying it's not valid. I understand not to focus on it. Why? If you focus on it, you let wild beasts into your house. When they get there, they ain't leaving. And now that these wild beasts are there, what are they doing? Now it says, protect yourself, lest you be delivered into the hands of your enemies. So your thoughts deliver you into the hands of your enemy. Notice the enemy doesn't come and get you. You deliver yourself to them. The devil can't do nothing to you, brothers and sisters. You do it to yourself. How do you do it to yourself? By your thoughts As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me say that again. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me say that again. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. No, it didn't say that. It says, as a man thinketh in his head, so is he. No, that's not what it said. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. No, that's not what it says. As a man thinketh. That's what it says, right? No, that's not what it says. It says, as a man thinketh in his head, not his heart. No, but since it's Proverbs 23:7 says, for he is kind of a person. No, that's not what it said. It says that, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. He who says, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. Your heart has to be with your head, and your head has to be with your heart. That's the exact same thing that Proverbs 23, verse 7 and 8 says. That's the exact same thing that we just read in the teachings of Sylvanus. So, brothers and sisters, what is the solution? The solution is simply this. If you listen to bad reports, wild beasts come in, they destroy the city, your mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect, and then when your city is destroyed, you walk over because you're depressed, you're oppressed, you know, you're suffering from recession, so you give up. You deliver yourself. It says you deliver yourself into the hands of your enemy. But the solution is entrust yourself to this pair of friends. Okay? Entrust yourself to this pair of friends. Master Teacher 33. No, that's not what it says. It says entrust yourself to the Reverend Dr. Bishop. No, that's not what it says. It says entrust yourself to the Dalai Lama. Nope, that's not what it says. It says, entrust yourself to two friends. Everybody has these two friends. So why are you going out looking? The Bible says that your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. He says that God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. So it says, entrust yourself to this pair of friends. Reason and mind. I would say reason and logic. I've been saying it for 20 years. Everybody talking to me about all this other stuff. You know what changed my mind, changed my life? Reason and logic. This says the same thing. Reason and logic, that's my thing. The text says reason and mind. It says if you do these things, reason and if you use your mind. Because the mind contains, again, the mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect. If you use reason, no one will be victorious over you. It says God will dwell in your camp. May his spirit protect your gates. May the mind of divinity protect the walls. Let the holy reason become a torch in your mind, burning the wood, which is the whole of sin. Brothers and sisters, tomorrow, we're going to break it down, and we will continue with, but Christ has come in order to give you this gift. Tomorrow, brothers and sisters, we're going to dwell more into the solution of getting rid of the wood, of burning the wood, of getting rid of the wickedness, of getting rid of the savage wild beast, of getting rid of the wicked one, the tyrant, who is the Lord, who is directing beneath the miry clay. He's controlling the whole city, which is your soul. How is he doing it? He's doing it because you are running and you're not pursuing him with a strong mind. You're not using reason and logic. We're using emotionalism and sensualism. So tomorrow, my brothers and sisters, we will continue again with part two of the teachings of Sylvanus. Again, this is one of the books that was found in the Nag Hammadi Library or the Nag Hammadi text. Again, the book dates back, or the papyrus dates back to 348 CE. My brothers and my sisters, again, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set of part one, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth. And as always, my brother, as always, my friend. I will. Anytime. God bless you.
With thoughts and you should blur it out. Why take a sedative when you could take your courage out? Why take a sedative when you could take your courage out? Let's make them feel it, we ain't even got a curse at all. Like getting digits, you ain't even have to flirt at all. I got these dividends, that dividends can't buy it all. I got these dividends, that dividends can't buy it all. I'm about to shift again, no blending and no not at all. And all my frenemies and enemies and buy them all. Cause this is skipping, it's a misery, it's about to fall. They got monopolies and properties inside a store. Don't trace that money out there properly, it's not for y'all. And ain't it funny, cause we'll grind, but we don't fight at all. I know we think it, but we keep it all inside us all. I know we think it, but we keep it all inside us all. I spoke to Jesus, he gon' lead us through these enemies.